This is Marketplace from APM. I'm Kai Rizdahl. Take Dan Brown, the guy who wrote The Da Vinci Code, and Stephen King and John Grisham, and roll them all up into one. And together, they still don't sell as many books as the guy you're about to hear from. It's quite likely you know James Patterson's best, for his thrillers. But he does romance novels and books for young adults and nonfiction as well, sometimes with co-authors, sometimes by himself. So today on our occasional series, The Art of Money, the industry that is James Patterson. Exhibit A, he had two books published on the same day last week, a thriller for grown-ups and a book on the horrors of summer camp for young adults. Mr. Patterson, it's good to have you with us, sir.
Good to be here.
So as I was mulling over the list of questions I wanted to start with, there are like a zillion of them, I kept coming back to this. Don't you get tired with this output and the industry you have built?
I don't think about an industry or building things. But somebody said you're lucky if you find something you like to do, and then which is true, and then it's a miracle if somebody will pay you to do it. and that's my deal. I love to do it. I love to tell stories. Take storytelling out of my life, and there's a big hole in the center. So, no, I don't get tired of it at all.
When did you realize that in order to keep producing at the volume you produce, you had to get co-authors in and collaborate with people?
A friend of mine, we were playing a little golf, and he's a good writer, and I tell him this story idea I had for this little golf novel. And we agreed we'd sort of try it ourselves. And it turned out great. And, you know, if you think about it, out there in Hollywood, most of the TV shows, it's a couple of writers. Yeah. And then you start going, okay, Simon and Garfunkel, Lennon, McCartney, Woodward and Bernstein. You know what I mean? It's done a lot. Yeah. And then people go, oh, okay, yeah, I guess it isn't that big a deal.
Are you going to write till you can't write anymore?
Yeah. Yeah, and I hope that doesn't happen either. I mean, I'd like to, fall over at my desk at, 97, you know. 90, when I get to be 97, I'll go 103, yeah, whatever it is.
How do you feel about e-books, by the way?
Terrific. The only issue with e-books for me, and it's not e-books per se, it's that this phenomena has come on so quickly. And the ramifications are pretty serious, and I don't think anybody's had time to think them out and figure out, okay, what are we going to do with less bookstores? With respect to parents, in most of these houses, they haven't come to grips with, okay, how many e-readers should we have in the house, and what are we going to do about the kids having e-books? Now, with my adult books, for the first 6 weeks or so, it's about 60% e-books in terms of sales.
Wow.
The kids' books, it's like 5%.
Yeah.
Which means that the parents, you know, the ones who aren't going into stores now are not – they're no longer buying books for their kids, which is not great.
I'm a little surprised you didn't give me the I like the tangible feel of a book in my hands answer too.
I do.
Yeah. I do.
I like both. You know, if I'm going on a trip, man, there's nothing like being able to carry around seven books and it weighs 11 ounces.
This is going to sound a little sideways, and I'll preface it.
Excellent.
Well, you know, we'll see how this goes over. You are the most normal sounding big shot that I've ever talked to you. And so that was running through my mind as you were talking a minute ago. Not that I wasn't listening to you. But I wonder what it's like when you are this big shot dealing with people's perceptions of you. And I ask because, you know, a lot of people say your writing is just airplane fodder and this and that. And I know you've said you don't care about that. But how do you deal with those perceptions?
Well, you care. You care up to a point. You just want people to be semi-reasonable. Look, I think it's crazy that people get big heads about themselves. I don't get it. I won't hang around. I mean, we live in Palm Beach, so theoretically there's a lot of people that have done things there. But I just won't hang with people that are you know, self-important or really impressed with it. One of my jokes about Palm Beach, I call it the city of used-to-bes. Used to be president of, used to be chairman of, used to be spouse of, the whatever. It's just not where I come from. I think part of, you know, the way I was raised sort of lower middle class. So I've seen all the different stratas of society, and yeah, you know, there's good people in all of them and not so good people in all of them. And I'm certainly not impressed with myself. I'm comfortable in my own skin, but I'm not impressed with myself.
James Patterson. He's got two books, the latest in the middle school series for, I guess the market's called The Young Adults, and then a book for grown-ups called Second Honeymoon.
The one thing about the two books, it's no accident they're coming out in the same day. And that's not about marketing. What it is about is adults, please, when you're going into the store or you go online or you go into the library, remember your kids.
Yep.
Remember your kids. Because if your kids – if you don't get your kids reading – and if they're not good readers, it's like sending them out into the world with a handicap. And nobody would do that knowingly, but people do it all the time.
Mr. Patterson, thanks a lot for your time, sir.
Thank you.
We've got James Patterson reading the first chapter of his latest thriller, Second Honeymoon, it's called. It's up on our website right now, marketplace.org, if you want to check it out.